The best healthcare is there in ways big and small. There when we most and least expect it. We may not see it, but we feel it. It lets us know we're not in this alone. Everyone deserves a healthcare partner who never quits. One who's there for what matters. United Healthcare. There for what matters.
Want your boss to put some real action behind the rhetoric when they talk about making your workplace more inclusive? Find out how to hold their feet to the fire and demand diversity on the Diversity Dude podcast.
Hello there, and welcome back to the Diversity Dude podcast. I'm your host, Lambert Fisher, marriage and family therapist, award-winning author, and national speaker on the topic of multicultural awareness and diversity. And for those of you who are interested in even more positive and encouraging tips and strategies beyond what I share in podcasts like this, then feel free to check out my award-winning book, Diversity in Clinical Practice, nationally recognized for the unique way in which it addresses the often difficult topic of multicultural awareness and diversity. Designed for more than just therapists, if you're a helping professional in any way, Diversity in Clinical Practice can help you meet the greatest variety of cultural needs possible for those whom you serve. And it's available in paper and audiobook versions for your convenience. And whether it be through my one-on-one relationship building efforts as a therapist or my informing and empowering efforts as an author speaker, know that my personal mission is to do my part to improve the world, one strengthened relationship at a time. So today I want to share with you a few encouraging words about to be or not to be a cultural victim. Now, I recently returned from a multi-city training tour in the Washington, D.C. area, where I had the pleasure of encouraging and equipping mental health professionals in their efforts to create culturally safe work environments for themselves, their colleagues, and those whom they serve. During that time, where I always extend the offer to ask any question that might be a barrier to individual efforts to bridge cross-cultural gaps, I received the following question. Lambert, I hear your encouragement and practical strategies for reducing cultural offenses, even the ones that are based on events that started long before I came around. But sometimes I feel like people would prefer to stay being a victim and are using being a victim as an excuse to not do the work necessary to change the situation. I don't want to be pessimistic, but I also don't want to be manipulated either. Can you help? Now, I immediately find myself grateful for this bold willingness to ask this question, as I can clearly see how a question like this might not have been well received if asked in a different context. For it's easy to see how this question could sound like a judgment on anyone who has been the victim of a crime or another traumatic event, as if to convey that their feelings are not real and thus they should simply get over it. However, following through on my continual promise to believe that every question comes from a genuine desire to understand and grow, then I was able to respond in a way that provided a healthier path forward for this professional and everyone else in attendance. Here's the summary of that response. Now, when I speak of victim, I'm referring to the definition of victim that refers to a person who has directly or indirectly suffered harm, including physical or mental injury or even emotional suffering. First, let me take a moment to validate one of the most controversial aspects of the dilemma. There are times when some people do manipulate traumatic experiences, particularly the responses of others of having experienced a traumatic event, such that they gain social benefits to identifying as a victim, sometimes longer than they actually need the support if they need it at all. It's unfortunate that these experiences taint the legitimate experiences of those who actually struggle with the impact of traumatic experiences and need more support. Nonetheless, instead of optimistically assuming that all needs that arise from seemingly traumatic experiences are legitimate, or pessimistically assuming that all the needs that arise from seemingly traumatic experiences are fake and manipulative, I encourage you to accept the reality that both unfortunately exist and to use discernment to genuinely evaluate one situation at a time to determine what support you're willing to risk providing moving forward. Personally, knowing therapeutically the additional harm that can come from forcing someone who has experienced harm to prove their pain, I choose to hope for the best and offer whatever support I can reasonably offer without regret, no more, no less, while also keeping my eyes open in the event that signs that that support that I'm offering might be in vain. Second, recognizing that there is a difference between identifying as a victim and having been the victim of a traumatic experience. You see, on one hand, it begins with a straightforward past versus present distinction alone. being versus having been. However, on the other hand, an additional key factor in this distinction is one's intentional effort to move forward and distance oneself from the impact of that event more and more over time. In this way, the conversation becomes less about the word victim, and instead, it's whether one is or isn't a victim. Instead, the focus to whether a person is choosing to blame others or otherwise simply stay feeling helpless in the face of opportunities to grow and move forward. Even if the progress is difficult, there can be intentional efforts to not stop trying and to make being a victim a part of one's identity, or at least not do so. Even if the progress is slow, the act of not standing still can be a key distinction between someone who is identifying as a victim versus someone who may have experienced being a victim of a harmful event, but who is also choosing not to remain there, however long that takes, to distance oneself from that event and to reduce the impact of that event more and more over time. And third, the best way to help is to support the effort rather than to judge it. Put simply, you can't tell someone their feelings or hurt aren't real, or even if they are, to just get over the hurt. Feelings don't work that way. I learned a long time ago that you can't logically argue feelings away, even if you want to or they want to. What I mean by this is there's no amount of reasoning or comparable experiences that can be shared that can speed up someone else's transition from identifying with being a victim to reducing the impact of their having experienced being the victim of a past negative experience that has less and less impact in their daily lives today. In some ways, the greater the impact of the hurt, the more difficult it will be to move past. In many ways, the more people are trying to convince them that their hurtful and painful experiences are illegitimate, the more time they have to waste on proving the legitimacy of their hurt feelings, and thus the less time they can invest on the long-term effort of reducing those feelings, ultimately delaying the growth process over time. Not only that, but new hurtful experiences, they may not be the same, but are similarly hurtful, can serve as continual reminders of past hurts and reinforce experiences of being a victim, rather than delaying distancing oneself from that identification as a victim. Or put more simply, one of the reasons why it seems like some people just can't get over traumatic experiences of long ago is because similarly hurtful experiences, even though not exactly the same, continue to occur, delaying the healing process. It's like if someone experienced a significant fire or burn and that resulted in a burn wound. If they healed from the wound, physically or emotionally, but never stop talking about it because they like the attention they received, then that would be manipulation and playing the victim card. However, if they continually experience new smaller burns that kept reopening the wound, or experience their feelings as being judged by others akin to have their wound picked at, proverbially speaking, then complete healing would not have even a chance to occur sufficiently. And that's what it feels like for many who have experienced unintentional cultural offenses at the least, and significant culturally traumatic experiences at worst. Whether personally experienced or witnessed or experienced by someone else who they personally identify with that makes it emotionally hit closer to home nonetheless, it can take difficult and intentional work to process the impact of such events and begin to move forward in life, distancing oneself from such. Turning the experience of identifying as being a victim of a traumatic event into having been the victim of a traumatic event, but not letting it become a part of who they are as a person forever, more and more, can be challenging. The best way you can be supportive of someone who has been the victim of a traumatic event, directly or indirectly, is to give credibility to their feelings, whether or not you share those feelings, and to not invalidate how long the healing process should take, according to you. In addition, you can also learn to modify your language to no longer encourage identifying as a victim while still acknowledging the legitimacy of the hurtful impact of past experiences, as well as the reality that healing takes over time. In the meantime, we all have the opportunity to take responsibility for doing the best with whatever we have to offer. What we have may differ, influenced in part by our present efforts as well as our past experiences. But with less judgment and blame and more support and collaboration, we can be pleasantly surprised by not only how much we can get done together, but how this supportive and collaboration can support the healing process of distancing oneself from past hurts and moving forward with shared gain. My hope for you is that you would learn to discern the impact of your own past difficult experiences, as well as those around you, and do your best to accept and offer support as needed, rather than judgment of someone else's healing process. The more people we have doing this, the better our personal and professional experiences and relationships have the potential to be moving forward. And with that, I'll say thanks again for listening to today's Diversity Dude podcast. If you have any pressing diversity-related questions that you'd like me to address on an upcoming podcast, or if your organization is in need of a shame-free or empowering guest speaker or training on this often sensitive topic, then feel free to reach out to me directly at www.diversitymadesimple.com. And if you know of anyone else who can benefit from a positive and encouraging perspective on the often difficult topic of diversity, feel free to send them a link to this podcast so they can be encouraged as well, or share with them my award-winning book, Diversity in Clinical Practice, available at Amazon.com. And as usual, I look forward to addressing as many topics as possible in future podcasts to help you improve as many relationships as possible at work, at home, and in your community. And as always, remember this: you don't need to know everything about everyone in order to have a positive impact on someone. Thank you all for tuning in, and have a great day.
Tune in each week and find out how to demand and implement diversity at your job. To hear more, check out previous Diversity Dude shows on ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com.
People say we're made up. Tall tales. Myths. Think what you want about us, but we can all be certain of this. Recycling is real. And it works. But what happens to your recycling once it leaves your home? Recycled glass is sorted in St. Paul. Then the clear glass is made into bottles for drinks, pickles, salad dressing, and more in Shakopee. At other facilities, plastic bottles get made into new plastic bottles. Recycling exists. Learn the real story behind recycling.
It's not just another day in your life. Things are changing for the better. At Comcast, we see those changes and we're thinking about how we use technology today to live, work, learn, and play. And we're building for the future now, so we're better prepared for the wants and needs of tomorrow. That's why Comcast is rolling out multi-gig internet speeds to more than 50 million homes and businesses before the end of 2025. Making our already industry-leading network even faster, smarter, greener, and more reliable. Over the decades, Comcast has been your partner, working hard to serve your community, and will continue to be your partner. We're expanding our gigabits so you can enjoy the tiny bits that matter most.
You know Shaletta makes you laugh, but did you know Shaletta Brundage can also make you think and boost your business? Media personality, activist, and comedian Shaletta Brundage founded Shaletta Makes Me Laugh to celebrate and share the best of Black culture. It's a podcasting platform. You can download 10 weekly podcasts hosted by African-American subject experts at ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com is also a production house creating broadcast quality commercial content. And Shaletta and her team of storytellers create powerful promotional campaigns to get businesses the brand awareness they're looking for. Some of Minnesota's top businesses trust Shaletta, and you can too. Get out the word about your events and products and get in front of communities of color with ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com. She's got the power to help your business.
Taking a COVID-19 test is easy, painless, accurate, and can be done anywhere, including in your own home. The self-test takes about 15 minutes, so you will quickly know your results. Testing is recommended if you have symptoms or have been in close contact with someone who tests positive for COVID-19. It is a good idea to keep self-test kits on hand at home and when you're traveling. That way you're ready to test if you have symptoms or have been exposed to someone who has come down with COVID-19. Every household in Minnesota is eligible to order free at-home rapid test kits while supplies last. To get yours, go to sayyeshometest.org. That's sayyeshometest.org. The free test will be delivered to your home. If you do take a test and get positive results, isolate at home for at least 5 days. Seek medical care if your symptoms do not get better or get worse. And remember, staying up to date with vaccinations remains the best way to protect yourself and others.
Are you a woman known as a good listener? Do you have skills in de-escalating situations? Are you what they call a people person? Then the Minneapolis Police Department would like to meet you. Now in a rebuilding phase, the Minneapolis Police Department is recruiting more women to wear the badge. The department offers career options for women with a high school diploma or GED. There are also opportunities for women with 2- and 4-year degrees who are ready to apply their skills in new ways. Police work makes a great second career for social workers, teachers, nurses. Women in their 30s and 40s are welcome to apply. There's no age cap. You'll be paid while you train and mentored by veteran women officers invested in your success. Minneapolis also welcomes current police officers to join the state's largest department. Make a difference on the streets, working in your community, in a career with competitive salaries and generous benefits. Go to MinneapolisMN.gov and search police jobs to find out more.
If you live in an older home, it may contain lead-based paint on walls, woodwork, and windows. Even more bad news, lead exposure can be dangerous to young children and impact their brain development. And now, the good news. Hennepin County will fix lead hazards in your home at no cost to you.
We were worried because of the paint in the windows in the bedroom. They were peeling and chipping, and we know that when paint peels and chips and it looks a certain way, that's possibly lead. We were worried for our children more so than anything.
Eligible homes can qualify for up to $15,000 in upgrades. You may even qualify for new energy-efficient windows. Don't worry, Hennepin County has a trusted list of pre-approved contractors. You won't even have to find companies with correct licenses or certifications.
I've just done a test and it's positive. So we know that this is lead-based paint, and we know it's a hazard because it's creating dust every time this window moves and opens. And if you look in here, that's just full of lead paint chips.
You won't have to stay with your cousin while you're getting the lead out. Hennepin County even pays for you and your family to stay in a hotel while the work is underway. The last good news is how easy it is to apply. Just go to hennepin.us/lead control to get started.
I'm really happy with the program. We can go to bed knowing that our children are safe.
That's hennepin.us/lead control. Tell your friends about it.
You started your business with an idea and a plan for the future. A plan that got you off to a great start. But now you see new opportunities as well as new challenges. Work with a banker who understands your business goals and knows how to help you reach them. Work with Bremer Bank, because understanding is everything. Put us to work for you today at bremer.com.